So this morning, we're going to contemplate on a very exciting topic. Well, all my topics are exciting. Whether my sermon is exciting is something else. Crossing your Jordan. And some years back, because of a business trip, I went to Whistler for a meeting. And it was sponsored by the client. So I can guarantee that it's not a church conference at Whistler. We don't hold church conference at Whistler. We only hold it at Faithland Church or in someone else's basement. So this is a business engineering meeting. So we went to Whistler, and all paid by the clients, of course. And we even stay in the Fairmont Hotel. It's a very nice hotel. And everything's all paid for. When we finished the meeting, and then the client said, well, let's do something for fun. Well, it's in the summer, so I don't know what is there to do in Whistler for fun. And then he said, let's go zip lining. And I wasn't quite sure I want to do that, and partly given my age, and I'm not that kind of a thrill seeker than to do zip lining. So, but it's all paid for, right? Usually for Chinese, anything is free. You take it first, and then you decide whether you really need it, right? But I will go, and then about 10 of us, and then we all sign up, and then go sit line. It's quite expensive. It's about $120, just for once. So I sign up, and then I have second thought, and I said, I have to preach that Sunday at church. What if something happened to me? And I have a wife and two kids. And then I've doubts in my mind. And then they drove, and then we walked to this. So after we get our gears and all dressed up, and then we went to this right outside the office. There is a pole. See this, this here? So you walk up there, and then you see from here, this line here. Oh, piece of cake. So I just walk up there. You don't need a helmet. I walk up there myself and sip across. It's not bad, but it's kind of expensive for $120. And then the guy said that, well, this is just a warm-up. Just to make sure that you know what you're going to get into. And then he drove us into a bus about 50 minutes going up the hill, all the way to the hill. And I started looking over. Wow, we're getting pretty high up, right? And then I said, don't worry. I said, no, with all our years of operation, no one have ever died from this fun game. And no one have ever have to come back the mountain by foot. Everybody sit down the mountain. So I said, how do you sit on the top of the mountain? Oh, just like what you did on the ground there. First from one pole to the other pole. I said, oh, okay, that should be all right. But what he didn't tell us, it is from one pole to the other pole, but the poles are in two different mountains. So you're actually sipping from one mountain to the other mountain. And trust me, that's kind of a bit scary for an old guy like me. And I'm not sure you see me there. This is the guy here. Sipping from the other mountain to the other mountain. Oh, that was scary. But the most scary part is actually not when you're sipping. It's very fast. Actually, I found that you sip about four or five times. You sip from one end, and then you go down, and then you sip to the other, and then you go down, and then you sip back. It's fun. So it's worth the $100 or so, if someone pays for it. And the most scary part is actually standing there, standing here, and jump off the cliff. It is kind of a bit scary. But the guy keep saying that no one has ever been killed. No, the only problem is you get stuck in the middle. If you're too nervous, like me, if you try to struggle a bit or not keeping your body tight enough, you may not have enough energy to slip to the other side. And if you cannot make it to the other side, then you end up with, you'll be sliding back down and end up in the middle like this guy. And that's exactly what happened to me. And they had to crawl there and pull me back. But it was fun. And as I was sipping along over, and there's a river below, and then I think of River Jordan. And then I'm sipping through River Jordan. Jordan River. So my topic today is, what is your Jordan River in your life that you need to sip over? It is scary, isn't it? Right? When you try to sip over this Jordan River. And the Israelites has been in the wilderness for 40 years. They have been wandering and wandering around for 40. Oh, I need to show you this picture. How could I miss this? I was alive. I made it. As the Israelites were wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness, they're trying to enter into the promised land of God. God has promised that land many, many years ago, that they will be able to settle in a promised land, a land of milk and honey, a land where they can build a nation. They were wandering for 40 years. That's a long time. And now finally they get to where they want to be. But there's a river that divided them, that separated them from going into the promised land. And we always sometimes be like that. And God has promised. And what did God promise us? An abundant life, isn't it? God promised us an abundant life, a life. But sometimes we Christians are anything but having an abundant life, isn't it? God promised the Israel a land of milk and honey, a promised land. And now they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, they're here. And they are all they have to do is cross this river. And this river is not like the big sea. It's not really wide, but the water is flowing really fast. And why did God have to perform a miracle here? This is the last miracle that God performed before they enter into the promised land. This is to let you know that the living God is among you. God performed this miracle. It's not for the sake of performing a miracle, but he wanted the Israelites to know that the God that they believe is the living God. So God today performs miracles in our life. He may not make you fly or divide the Fraser River, but God performed the miracles in your life. If you think back, God performed many miracles in your life. God did all these miracles so that we know that he is alive. Our God is a living God. It's not just a description in the scripture. Now they arrive at the river and they're about to enter into the promised land. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. And this is where the Israelites have to look to God for a miracle from him. And the scripture told us that wait. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they came before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers ran through the camp. Wait for 3 days. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years now, and they're eager to enter into this promised land where they can build our nation, as God has promised hundreds of thousands of years ago. But now they have to wait for 3 more days. And God wants us sometimes to wait and be prepared. Prepare ourselves before we move into what God has planned for us. Well, sometimes we rush into because of our desire and we don't want to wait. Sometimes we want to do things our way. But here, at this really critical moment in the history, God tells them, wait. Why can't we just go over there now? Wait for 3 days. And God has a plan. First thing, God wants them to wait and sanctify themselves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Sanctify yourself. 2 Timothy 2:21. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Before God can use us, or before God can bring us across the River Jordan, we have to sanctify ourselves. Before God can entrust us with great tasks, be it a service in the church or something bigger, God always wants us to sanctify ourselves first and make ourselves holy. Sanctify meaning to be set apart, to be consecrated, and to be holy. In the Hebrew context, that means they have to wash their clothes. Doesn't mean that every Sunday, no, morning you have to wash your clothes before coming to church. But in the Hebrew context, probably the Israelites were washing their clothes, abstaining from sexual activities, and fasting. This is in the Hebrew context. But today, if we want God to use us in any capacity, we have to prepare ourselves, wait upon the Lord, and sanctify ourselves. God cannot use an unholy instrument to be an instrument of blessings used by God. We have to prepare ourselves, sanctify ourselves, and believe in God's promises. And then Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly, and here comes God's promises. And it took me a while to learn how to pronounce all these names. Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gergesites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Not bad, okay? Remind me of those parasites, those some organism. So obviously these are bad guys, bad people, right? With names like this. But all these names actually have some meaning. And I look up some of them. And Hittites means fear. Hivites, opening to anything. So all these Amorites, which is the most powerful race in the Palestine. And they are all strong enemies of the Israelites, and they are scared of them. But God promised them they will overcome all the obstacles, all these enemies, and enter into Canaan and take all of the land of promise. So God has a promise them many years ago. So they are here today, ready to cross the river into the promised land. And it is all because God has said this before. He will protect them. He will guide them through, and it's God's promise. And God, what has God promised us today? God promised us, Jesus will give us, he will carry our burden. And Jesus promised us, he will give us an abundant life. He will give us a life that's worth living. But yes, sometimes we don't feel that, isn't it? Sometimes we just, nothing but an abundant life. We struggle in our lives. Why? Why is it that? Why is it that we cannot cross this Jordan River into God's promised land? And here they are here, ready to cross the river. They base it on the promise of God that they will arrive there and they will overcome the enemies. The promises of God are certain, but they don't all mature in days. It is sometimes the difficulty is the waiting time, isn't it? And we know that God will guide us. We know that God will prepare the best for us. And whether in my marriage, in my family, in my career, some of you may be looking for a job. We all know that this is not really the best economic time. in our country. And some of you may be looking for a life partner. And God has promised us He will look after us, but it's not happening yet. And our job, our family may have some challenge, and our health may have issues. And our ministry at church is not as smooth as I want to be. But God has promised us, and we have to stand in the promises of God. And God's promise may not happen, it's not happening now, but it will happen someday. And we need to have faith to continue to walk along the path. And before they crossed the river, before they were waiting for this miracle to happen, and Joshua said to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Set your GPS on God. GPS, what does GPS mean? What? No. It's God's positional system. GPS. God's positional system. We set our eyes on God. When you set your eyes on the covenant, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Wow. You have never been this way before. And I guess some of us may be facing some challenge in life that we have never been this way before. I was at the Agape Fellowship 2 weeks ago to share, and the new chairperson, president, Shirley came to me and said that I'm nervous today. She said, it's the first time I am the chairperson or president of the fellowship. And then I said, I'm even more nervous. It's the first time I'm a senior pastor. So don't worry about it. Sometimes we are scared, isn't it? You have never been this way before. And I am to tell you, I'm still quite nervous being a senior pastor. And sometimes the trouble is I forget that I'm a senior pastor. And because I have never been this way before. So the Israelites here, they're scared, they're worried, but said, don't worry. You have never been this way before, but just keep your eyes on God. Get your GPS correct. Don't focus on yourself, your own wisdom, your own skills, your friends' advice. And sometimes we focus even on the TV host, the TV show host, and we focus on what the media says. We focus on anything, everything else except God. Aren't we all like that? And we ask advice from everybody, except we go back to God's words and the scripture. We focus our attention. We try to follow guidance, advices from our friends, but yet we very seldom go back to prayers and ask for God's guidance. Here Joshua tell them, you have to focus on the Ark of the Covenant when you cross the river. And you have to keep yourself 2,000 cubits, which is about 1,000 meters, between you and the Ark. Do not go near. Now, why is Joshua giving this instruction? I can think of two reasons. One is because the Ark of the Covenant is a holy, represent the holy place of God. So you cannot get, should not get too close to it, at least in those days. And because there are about 2 million people, there are a lot of people crossing the river. So everybody crowded around the Ark, so the other people cannot see it. So Joshua wanted people to stay away so that everybody can see the Ark of Covenant. And Ark of the Covenant represents what? Today. While the Israelites are putting their eyes on the Ark of Covenant, it represents God Himself. But inside the Ark, there are 3 items. There's the manna. There's the Ten Commandments. And then there's Aaron's rod.
And the manna represents Christ today. It symbolizes Christ is the bread of life. And the Aaron's rod represents Jesus is the high priest. And the Ten Commandments represents God's word. So today, as we keep an eye, our GPS system, or the Ark of Covenant, we keep our eyes on Jesus, on his words, that he is our high priest. He died for us. He's the one that we have to follow. The word covenant was mentioned 11 times in the book of Joshua, and it shows how important it is. We have to follow. As we walk across this river, Jordan River, as we walk across our Jordan River, I don't know what is your Jordan River today. Maybe there's some challenge in your life. Maybe addiction. Maybe some uncertainties. We need to focus ourselves on Jesus. We need to pray more. So I hope that this church, we can pray more. We very often rely on our, as a mature church, a church with 50 years of heritage, we tend to focus on our experience. And very often we forget that God is our GPS. And God, we need to rely on God to guide us. Just because we did well in the last 50 years, it only reminded us that we have to follow him even more closely than before. And we have to focus on us, not on our experience. We have, our church has done many programs. We can organize anything, big, small events, community day, all kinds of camps. We have lots of experience, but if we want to see God perform miracles in us, we need to focus and follow him. And I believe in the future, God still has miracles to perform in our church. So Joshua, tell them that you have to focus on the Ark of Covenant. You have to focus on God as you cross this river by faith. You need faith to cross this river. And it is, this faith is even greater than when you cross the Red Sea. When you cross the Red Sea, the water was departed. So you see the dry land before you walk across. And also, when they crossed the Red Sea, there were Egyptians behind them, holding their swords, and ready to slaughter them. So they have no choice. And so they have to run across the Red Sea. But the Red Sea was the dry land when they walked across. But when they walk across the Jordan River, it's not the same story. They have a choice. First, they have a choice not to walk across. So when the people book camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of Covenants went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage or during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. So the river is not, the water did not stop before they crossed. They had to put their feet. Actually, the King James says they put their, as long as the sole of their feet touch the water. So you have to put your feet into water first before the water will stop. Not vice versa. So I can imagine that one day we have to cross the Fraser River with the VCAC, and then Pastor Norman tell the elders to carry this Ark of Covenant. Then we're now going to cross the Fraser River to the other side to save us time for a picnic. So I tell the elders to carry the ark to go first. And then the elders said, no, I'm not going to walk across the Fraser River. And then you are the pastor, you go first. And then I said, no, I'm Joshua. I order you to carry the ark. And then can you imagine all these elders, Elder Danny and Elder Joe, they carry the ark, and they all hesitate, who should go first. And then And then suddenly some elder elbow Uncle Danny in the water. Said, "Ah, I cannot swim, help me." He fell into the water. "The help, help me." And as he fell into the water stopped. Wow, that is a miracle. The water stopped. But obviously, I'm sure that all these pieces, they don't want to be elbowed into the river. No, they know, they trusted Joshua's words. So they put their feet into the water. As soon as their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped the flowing. It piled up in a heap of great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zelophehad. While the water flowing down to the sea, which is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed it over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while the Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Now, this is faith. You have to put your feet there first. And sometimes the reason that we did not see God perform miracle in our life, we did not trust Him enough to put our feet into the water first. If they did not put their feet into the water first, they would not see this miracle. If you want God to do great things in your life, you have to sanctify yourself. You have to prepare for yourself. You have to stand on the promises of God. You need a faith, but yet sometimes you need to put the feet into the water first before the water will stop. I'm sure you've all seen Indiana Jones. Last Crusade, right? The Last Crusade, that's the name of the movie. Who haven't seen this movie? What? Okay. Okay, go home and watch this on YouTube. Okay. This is one of the best Indiana Jones movies. And then here in Indiana Jones, his dad got shot. So he has to go to the other, this is the last stretch of his journey looking for this cup of Jesus, right? And which can save his father. His father is dying. So he ran all the way here. And then according to his book, his little book, there's supposed to be a bridge that go from this side to the other side. But here, standing there, is a bottomless pit, and up is there. But there's no bridge to the other side. And he was there wondering, what is going on here? No one can jump this far. But according to this book that he had, he had been following this, and everything in this book says became true. So he has been following this, and now this is the last page of his journey, and the last page of this book. And this book says that he can actually walk across from one side of the cliff to the other side, but there's no bridge. And then he said to himself, "Leap of faith. I need this leap of faith." Right? And the book says that there is a bridge. So there must be a bridge. So what he did, he put his feet out there. It's very scary, isn't it? Right? What if there's no bridge? And the minute, the second, he touched, he put his feet out, there's the bridge. It's an invisible bridge. And this is just like the Jordan River that we all have to cross. The bridge may not be there. The river is flowing, but we have to put our feet out first before we can see the miracle. Many years ago, when I was asked to start I wasn't asked to start the Mandarin ministry. I asked if I can start the Mandarin ministry. So I asked the church if I can start the Mandarin ministry. To be honest, I did not know what I was getting myself into. I was quite happy with serving in the Cantonese ministry. And I was quite happy. At that time, I was actually doing Pastor Sam's job. I was also running the three English youth fellowships. Well, at that time it was called clay, now it's the cast, the quench and the fuse. I was quite happy with my ministry, and I don't speak a word of Mandarin. So why would I want to leave a very comfortable ministry I had and start a ministry that I know nothing about? But it was God's conviction, the vision that God showed me. And I have this very strong word from God that our church needs to start a ministry. So I actually stepped into it until I know what is involved. Because if I know what is involved, I probably would have never go into the Mandarin ministry. It was very difficult. Learning Mandarin wasn't easy for me. And so the first year I cannot preach because I cannot speak Mandarin. So it was a challenge for me. Learning the culture is actually more difficult than learning the language. But when I look back 10 years later, it was God's blessing. It's not that God needed me to start a Mandarin ministry. He could find many Mandarin speaking pastors in town. I always like to make fun, you know, tell people that, you know, God always have a big sense of humor. He find a Mandarin pastor in our church who doesn't speak Mandarin. Right? But God put me in there so that I can learn. The person who benefited the most from the Mandarin ministry is actually not the Mandarin member themselves, it's actually me and my wife. And it's through this ministry that my life has been touched and changed. And I will share with you some other time. But sometimes we have to put our feet. If you see that this is God's guidance, you have to put your feet into the water. Before the river, the water will stop. And what is your Jordan River today? Maybe God wants you to go into a ministry, but you hesitate. Maybe God wants you to go into a certain style of life, go away, get away from your addictions. You lack the faith. God wants you to pursue your career in a certain direction so that He can use you in a different way, but you're not sure. God wants you to have an abundant life, a more fulfilling, a more mature spiritual life, but yet you are still staying at the other side of the Jordan River. You need to satisfy yourself and stand on the promises of God and be willing to follow, focus your eyes on Him and follow Him. But the most important, the last, is you need to put your feet. If you see that there's God's guidance, you need to have faith in Him. You need to trust Him that. And you need to put your faith. Only faith is to believe what we do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what we believe. You need to put your feet in there and have faith in God. Then you will see the miracles. Then you can enter into this promised land. God promised all of us an abundant life. But we wander around in this wilderness. And sometimes because we were not willing to sanctify ourselves, sometimes we forgot God has promised us an abundant life. And sometimes we are not willing to wait. And the reason we cannot enter into this abundant life, maybe because we don't trust God. And we are wandering around, and yet we still haven't entered into God's promised life, which is an abundant life for all of us. So have faith and cross your Jordan River.
Let's do the benediction. Oh Lord, we thank You for all the promises that has already been given to us. Lord, we need faith to reach out and receive. But with that faith, You also ask us to sanctify, to cleanse ourselves, to separate ourselves from the world so that we can be acceptable. You have provided the forgiveness, the salvation, everything, but you want us to give ourselves back to you. That is sanctification. And Lord, we thank you for this morning, Pastor Norman's, our senior pastor's message. And we receive them. We ask for that faith to believe and to step out also, because you have already promised to us. We just need to reach out, put our foot out, our feet out, and put our hands out to receive and to step out. And while we step out, when we step out, you will give us the abundant life. We thank you, we praise you, because it has all been given through Christ, by faith, by grace. We praise you, we thank you, we pray this in the name and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the fellowship that we have in the Holy Spirit, and the love of God which you have sent your Son to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.